For Progressive Voices, I'm John Sinton, and this is a turning point. Today, political sectarianism. Well, there's a new term circulating among university political science departments, and it is political sectarianism. You know, we generally think of sectarianism in a religious context. For instance, the world of Islam is divided, often violently, between Sunni and Shiite Muslims. We refer to them individually as sectarian factors, and they also apply to various Christian and Jewish sects. So we have a history of religious sectarianism in this country that has now been joined by political sectarianism. Both are tribal, and both are peopled by adherents who are not persuadable. So what happened? Well, from Shanto Iyengar, a political scientist at Stanford, quote, "I would single out the profound transformations in the American media system over the last 50 years. Basically, we have moved from an information commons in which Americans of all political stripes and walks of life encountered the same news coverage from well-regarded journalists and news organizations to now a more fragmented, high-choice environment featuring news providers who no longer subscribe to the norms and standards of fact-based journalism. The increased availability of news with a slant, coupled with the strengthened motivation to encounter information that depicts opponents as deplorable, has led to a complete breakdown in the consensus over facts." Unquote. You know, the first time I went to London, I was astonished to see all of the tabloid news boxes on the arrivals curb. You could just pick the news that you wanted based on your political leanings. We had not yet experienced that sort of media fragmentation in the United States. And then came platforms like Fox News, Talk Radio, and San Diego's OAN on the right, and the likes of Huffington Post, Slate, and the Daily Kos on the left, and gone were the days when we enjoyed an agreed-upon set of facts. There are now so many partisan news outlets that we have joined the UK tradition of having consumers pick the news that suits their politics. CrowdTangle, ironically an analytical website that Facebook owns, reveals that in the post-election period, some conspiratorial inclined outlets garnered a larger audience than their mainstream competitors. The worm has turned. Well, without fuel, the fire dies. In 1968, George Wallace's segregationist white supremacy platform garnered just 13% of the vote. After the election, his stark messaging returned to the subtler language and dark corners in which it used to dwell. Then Obama's election brought racial resentment back to the surface, making Trump's presidency a possibility. And today, thanks to fuel primarily from social media, a more divisive, less subtle message seems okay and garners 30%. Of support nationally. Have you ever thought about why in recent years liberals have gone from being the loyal opposition of Republicans to their sworn enemies? I think political sectarianism ginned up by social media and talk radio and cable news is the culprit. In scrutinizing the 25,000 National Guard and law enforcement officers deployed to secure the inauguration, the Secret Service removed 12 people for ties to right-wing extremist groups. Two of the 12 had explicitly threatened elected officials online in posts that violated Facebook and Twitter terms of service but were somehow allowed to stand. The Wall Street Journal, referencing the preparation and initial reaction to the January 6th Capitol riot, wrote, quote, "Neil Kashkari, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, called the police reaction, quote, the starkest example of racism and disparities in our society, unquote. Adding, if those were black militants, armed militants, storming the U.S. Capitol, I think they'd all be dead right now, unquote. As a result, we are concerned that we have a law enforcement problem. The Justice Department is investigating the Louisville and Minneapolis police departments for excessive use of force against people of color. It's clear that we need better vetting for a profession that naturally attracts authoritarian personalities in addition to those who really want to protect and serve their communities." Bloomberg reports that, quote, "In China, the events at the Capitol prompted a rush among intellectuals seeking a three-decade-old book called America Against America, How Individualism Will Lead to U.S. Decline," unquote. Even the COVID vaccine response is polarizing. Democrats almost unanimously are for it. Nearly half of Republicans refuse to get the shot. Can you imagine 45% of Republicans refusing to get the polio vaccine 60 years ago? Recently, I was shocked by the rhetoric of a longtime friend who has now decided that Democrats constitute a death cult and that a number of party leaders, including Joe Biden, are of all things cannibalistic pedophiles. Try not to laugh. There is, of course, no credible source for this, just the QAnon conspiracy theorists who now hold sway with a dishearteningly large number of our friends and neighbors. As Mark Twain observed, it is easier to fool people than it is to convince them that they've been fooled. President Lincoln said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So I ask you, how long can we stand in the face of political sectarianism? For Progressive Voices, I'm John Sinton.